Your island of audio independence needs you during this time. Donate whatever you can at CIUT.FM and love your radio.
Quarantine got you down? Don't worry. Harry Tarantula has tons of awesome games, comics, and manga. We'll ship directly to your containment zone. Can't leave the house? You won't want to. Harry Tarantula, we've got your lockdown covered. Order now using your phone. HarryT.com. HairyT.com. Harry Tarantula is non-toxic. Harry Tarantula is safe for pregnant and nursing women. Do not use Harry Tarantula while driving or operating heavy equipment. Harry Tarantula may cause too much fun. Consult your physician before discontinuing use of Harry Tarantula.
Right here, right now, every day. CIUT 89.5, the sound of your city.
Welcome to CIUT 89.5 FM. This is the Taylor Report. I'm Phil Taylor, and it is summer fundraising time, and something we look forward to doing twice a year. We reach out to listeners. We know who appreciate this show and appreciate CIUT and all the great programming, and understand that it's a community station and requires the support and asks for the support of the community. And the community now includes the internet and people all over the world, we're happy to say. So this time to donate, and you can go to CIUT.FM. There is, you can then go to donate, and there are ways to do it. Be sure to include reference to the Taylor Report if you're listening to this show and you appreciate what we've been doing. Additional ways to support the station are you can send a check if you wish to 7 Hart House Circle, 7 Hart House Circle, Toronto, on, capital O-N, M5S 3H3, attention fundraising department. That's it's a mouthful, isn't it? But you write to CIUT, 7 Hart House Circle, Toronto, Ontario, M5S 3H3, and support this great station and the kind of programming that is heard 24 hours a day. We know it is supported and appreciated because for years now, people have been behind this station, and every year we get a little bit stronger. And so we know that nobody actually objects to the idea, because it's alternative radio is kind of hard to come by, frankly, in North America. It's been difficult, and therefore these little islands, I don't know the whole phrase, Ken Stauer can do it, but we're, I think, an island of independent something voices, but that's, I'm paraphrasing. It's hard to do, but it's fun, and we hope that you appreciate the programming. I'm going to say also, you can call at 416-946-7800, and you can call toll free to 1-888-204-8976 and donate. Give them the amount. We're looking for hundreds. If you got a fortune, turn it over. We're not like in the Bible where we say give us a whole thing, but we'd like a lot. Our goal is $100,000, and we tend to make our goals because there is an appreciative audience. And so these are the things you could do. I'm going to run it by you one more time, and then we're going to talk about our programming. And I, of course, will be mentioning it throughout the show. Those numbers that you can call, 416-946-7800. Or if you're out of town, Shanghai, Mississippi, New Jersey, Saskatchewan, you call 1-888-204-8976, and then you can, of course, send a check to CIUT 7 Hart House Circle, Toronto, Ontario, M5S 3H3. This is Phil Taylor, of course, and it is the Taylor Report. And we do keep up with parts of the world and issues that we think are important and are heard only on stations such as CIUT. We've been addressing matters to do with the struggle against the Trump-led white European order, frankly. That one that has been trying to undermine the United Nations, underline multilateralism in the world. But multilateralism basically means mutual respect amongst states. There is a very strong trend led by the United States. Trump, in a way, distorts it, but because he's become quite a hated figure, appropriately enough, it's kind of lost sight of the fact that this basically has been U.S. policy, and we've been trying to oppose that, of course, with thousands, millions of other people. The Canadian government, Canadian people, need to they're using the word reset. We need to reset relations with the rest of the world and actually get in tune with the rest of the world. That's what we talk about on the Taylor Report. And for example, put an end to the illegal sanctions that the U.S. brings against countries that it ideologically doesn't like Venezuela, Cuba, Syria, China, Russia. The steps taken. I shouldn't use the word sanction on China, but that's coming. There's all kinds of things in the wind now. But these steps by the U.S. government are actually illegal. They're in violation of the UN Charter. The United States is not taking these matters to Iran. It is doing it unilaterally. So the Taylor Report, together with many others, is fighting against this unilateralism, the extraterritorial attitude of the U.S. government and its allies, of which Canada is a happy member and contributing to all the trouble. At a time when actually, because of COVID-19, the world is seeing an opportunity to engage in mutual support and respect and to fight a common foe, a disease, which can only be, it's a disease that faces all humankind, and therefore it takes cooperation across national, linguistic, religious, ethnic, whatever word you choose to use. Places where there are those differences have to be set aside so that cooperation can take place and humanity be protected from disease. Of course, there's other matters, starvation, illegal siege being laid on against countries like Syria by the United States. So those things have to be broken down. And there is no enthusiasm in Ottawa to break it down. In fact, if you look at our mass media, not the Taylor Report, not the CIET, but if you look at mass media, the drum they beat is certain countries have to get in line. Venezuela has been told that they don't have the president they think they have, but they have the president that Washington and Ottawa think they should have, who is a fraud paid for by the U.S. and a menace. So they think they can do that. And that kind of conduct Canada is engaging with in alignment with the U.S. Needs now to be resisted loudly and strongly and undoubtedly, I think, across the country. Probably 50, 60, 70% of the people actually agree with that. They don't really like the idea of trying to dictate to to another country, telling Venezuela who their president is, as led by Chrystia Freeland and now by the new minister, and of course the prime minister himself, who had his picture taken with this pretender, which is totally outrageous. Guaido sitting with Trudeau, that was outrageous. But that's what we address on the Taylor Report. We talk about the fact that there is a world community. It doesn't agree with this minority of countries led by Washington and the UK, Canada, New Zealand, Australia. I have to say once again, the Five Eyes, and there's the blinking eye of New Zealand. New Zealand really has a remarkable leader. I think that everybody has noticed that, and that's a helpful sign. But the fact is that there is a gang of imperial powers, and it's the old American Anglo system, and the world is resisting it, and Canada has to make a choice, and we're very strong on saying what that choice ought to be: get with the world. The United States wants to attack the World Health Organization. Canada and Australia are joining in to see if they can undermine the World Health Organization. Why? Because the World Health Organization said that the efforts by the Chinese government to protect their citizens from COVID-19 was exemplary. Pause. That is an objective fact, actually. That's just a fact. But if you repeat that fact, you will be pummeled or pelted because you're not helping the U.S. and its allies who want to demonize a country that actually did an exemplary job. Not only did they do an exemplary job, they helped other countries. One of the countries that they helped is part of the NATO operation, Italy. And Italy thanked China profusely. The rock throwers in Ottawa can't hit Italy, it's too far away, but they beat anybody here in Canada, threaten them and everything else if they say something nice about China, the way the Italian government has said many nice things about China, because it was simply a cooperation of two states on behalf of their people, who they say, we need to help each other. So that's what we're calling for. This is Taylor Report. This is what we do. You need to donate, in my opinion, to CIUT.fm. Go to donate, and you can name any program you like. We suggest Taylor Report, but there's so many great shows, by the way. I know they're going to all get a lot of support, and we are really appreciative. So CIUT.fm, donate, and help us reach $100,000 so we can keep up the kinds of programming which we know people appreciate, because actually there is a political alarm in the world and they want to hear the kind of guests we have on the Taylor Report. And I do promise that in a very short span of time, I'm going to project by say the end of June, we will be back talking to people like Diana Johnson, the wonderful political journalist, which she calls herself the World Watcher, she has a great new book, and we anticipate talking to her. And of course, we speak to people like Harry Glasspiegel. We want to talk to him. We had him on the program, and people enjoyed that very much. He has a book, Capitalism, a Crime Story, and I would say the COVID-19 and economic crisis that we're going through right now is probably Harry needs to add a preface and a new chapter, because particularly on his point about sort of organized capitalist theft by means of manipulation of a state, his book, Capitalism, a Crime Story, is right on it, and it is going on before our eyes, where, as Harry and others have pointed out, when they get into trouble, for the capitalist class, it turns out they have deep pockets. When the people are in trouble, they always say, no, no, we're short. No, can't do that. No, we don't have money for that. But then they get into a little trouble, and all of a sudden, they're pulling money out of their ears. And I'm very impressed. But, you know, people see that. It's kind of hard to hide it. You know the old line, you can fool some of the people all the time, and you can fool all the people some of the time, but you can't fool them all the time. And that's what's going on now. People are watching closely. And the Taylor Report is very happy to say, you know, we call on, we think, the right people to discuss these issues. Linda McQuaig was a guest on the Taylor Report. She wrote about public ownership and all the great things that have been done Canada, particularly right here in Ontario, public works, which were then later privatized. Everyone that they could privatize, they privatized, and they didn't get them all, and they would like to get them all. Linda McQuaig's book is A Sport and Prey of Capitalists. Word comes up a lot, doesn't it? Capitalist. Well, what happened here with the... I mentioned China and why our leaders are telling us we mustn't say anything nice about China. It just shows that they're naked. They're pretty much bankrupt in their arguments. We ought to tell them we forgive them for their being caught. But here's the deal. They didn't claim they were serving all the people. The reason the United States has now 120,000 dead and counting, despite the fact that on March the 1st there were no dead from COVID-19 in the United States, now it's 120,000 looking to go. I mean, they treat it like it's an Olympic sport. We're going to make 200,000. I mean, I don't know how uglier it can get. But here's what has to be said. They're not designed to help people. That isn't what they do. And so, yes, with China, with 1.4 billion people, 1.4, attacked the COVID-19 as a threat to themselves and the rest of humanity, and shared all their information, by the way, with the World Health Organization, whether the U.S. likes that or not, and whether or not there's a bunch of noddles in Ottawa who spend their nights trying to think of some way to turn this around and attack China instead of Trump, which is Canadian intellectual. The biggest intellectual hurdle faced by all editorial writers is, how do we take the obvious screw-up of Washington and end up talking about China? That's their sort of, when they go to work every morning, that's what they got to do. So when China did this, they tackled it in beginning in January, their COVID, the word put out here was, well, you see, they're authoritarian. Well, could we have some of that? What do they mean authoritarian? It's a system. They call it an authoritarian system. Well, that's their pejorative. Actually, it's a system. And the reason they did it was they're called the People's Republic. The people who founded it, if you read their lives, knew anything about them, you'd know they're deadly serious. They wanted to end foreign occupation of their country. 100 years of humiliation, it's called. I'm looking at you, Hong Kong. 100 years of initiated with things like people forcing them to accept opium, things like that. They fought that, and they fought the Japanese, as you heard on the Taylor Report, said that they were going to become like the Western imperialists. They were going to impose civilization on China. They found out how far that little trick would go. These are people steeped in history and steeped in struggle who said, we're not going to be poor, we're not going to permit the people to be without work, without food, without medicine, without education, which is a result of colonial oppression. They ended it, and they united the country, and then they said our prime job is to serve the people. Well, here, Ottawa, Toronto, they think that's funny, And then, of course, because nobody here would ever say that. You'd be thrown out of office. They definitely, nobody give you any money to run for office. And it probably would arrest you. They've arrested a lot of people in Canadian history who talked about serving the people. Look up the story of Tim Buck, if you don't know about those things. This is, by the way, I'm going to remind you, CIUT 89.5 FM, the Taylor Report. I'm Phil Taylor, and we want you to go to the phone and call us up, 416-946-7800. Call us at toll-free, 1-888-204-8976. And donate. Help us reach 100,000. Keep this great station rolling. You can send a check to CIUT, 7 Hart House Circle, Toronto, Ontario, M5S3H3. That sounds like a machine. And donate and keep it going. By the way, I have to say thank you to our old friend Stan, who comes through every time for us. He's a longtime listener, supporter of the show, World War II veteran. We're very proud of Stan, and we thank him very much. So those are the things that we tackle. And I have news today, too, that I want to make sure that you understand the Taylor Report knows there are parts of the world where very important things are happening, which are not reported by the Globe or the CTV or CBC because they don't fit the ideological framework provided by people who run those places, who get all their guidance from the two major parties, the Conservatives and the Liberals. But we know there are issues that are burning issues for our listeners, and they want to hear about what's going on, and they would like to do something. And in the Great Lakes region, we have news of Victoire Ingabire, and it's worrying news. I don't want to alarm anybody, but it's the kind of thing you must pay attention to. Her house has been searched, and I'm just going to read this. This is from the 14th of June. And it says, we wish to inform our party members, friends of Rwanda, and the public, that the home of Madame Victoire Ingabire Umuhoza, party chairperson of Dalfa, Umurindi, was searched by Rwandan Investigation Bureau, RIB, yesterday, 13th of June, 2020. Every communication device, that is, laptops, USB drives, mobile phones, and every piece of paper was seized and taken away to the Rwanda Investigation Bureau office. We wish to remind everyone that our political party, Dalfa Umurindi, respects public institutions and hope that this will remain within the rule of law. The writer says, I visited Madame Victoire Ingabire Umuhoza's home and found her and everyone there to be in good health. Once again, we would like to stress that our political party stands for sustainable development, liberty, and peace for all. We wish to ask all our party members to remain calm and not to be discouraged by these challenging times. That's Jean Mahoro, party acting spokesperson. Now that's, to my mind, that is a very important matter to be followed closely, because it also involves, unfortunately, the hypocrisy and dishonesty of our media and our political leaders who never address the matter of Victoire Ingabire, who is a woman of peace, never been part of any. She was not there for the great moment in 1994 when Paul Kagame's RPF seized power by means of a war. She wasn't there. She was abroad. And she is a Rwandan. And she returned to her country saying, that we need a government of all the people, and that the leadership and approach of the current government is sectarian and oppressive, and they deny political space to others. Again, that's a fact. The Canadian government is very sweet on Paul Kagame. So is the American. Once in a while, somebody said, "Oh, the State Department said, yeah, I know that, but they maintain their, they keep on being pals." Bill Clinton is a pal, Paul Kagame. Tony Blair is a pal, a paid one, by the way. He gets good money for being an advisor to Paul Kagame. Basically, that's called political protection. And Canada has actually turned Rwandan nationals over to the government. Doesn't even allow Victoire Ingabire to stand for office. She wanted to run for president in the name of her party. Totally peaceful, with no threat to anybody, except to say that there should be a different style, different approach, and one that includes broader portion of the population and opposition. And Canada has no problem with that. It's funny, they can't find the word authoritarian, and instead they actually help camouflage this. So in other words, Canada kind of likes authoritarianism. So does the US, so does the UK. So when they tell you, hey, we're really hot for democracy in Hong Kong, or we think that the Chinese ought to change their government, Venezuela ought to change their government. No, you know what they mean? I'm gonna help, I can do this. Pro-democracy, they say. Anybody that, like Guaido, he's pro-democracy. Anybody in Hong Kong who doesn't like the Chinese government, central government, they're pro-democracy. Victoria Ingabire, no, doesn't get to play the word. So what they mean is pro-democracy is pro-US. If you're pro-US, turns out you're pro-democracy. Even when they talk about the absolute monarchy of Saudi Arabia, it's in a kind of endearing terms of, well, you know, he's working on it. He's decided to let the people have movie theaters sometime, someplace. And those women who can afford expensive automobiles can now drive them in Saudi Arabia. And so they say, oh, he's a reformer. Man's a reformer. This is the kind of farcical reality we fight on the Taylor Report. This, what it is hypocrisy and a lie, total lie. Victoria Ingabire is a very brave, very brave person, and her supporters are. Many people have disappeared in her country. The greatest singer, as David Himbara has told us on the Taylor Report, greatest singer in the country, died in custody after he had was found to be leaving the country without permission. But he doesn't get the label pro-democracy. No. So you're listening to the Taylor Report, and we want you to donate to help build the station. And we're talking about what we do and who we talk with, like Stephen Gowan, Ann Garrison. By the way, follow Ann Garrison. Ann Garrison is, I would say, the most knowledgeable, and certainly she writes poignantly and clearly about the situation of Victoire Ingabire. And we must follow closely, and everybody has to indicate to the Canadian government we're aware of this issue. That she's under basically a house arrest situation. She spent years in jail for the crime of wanting to be a politician in Rwanda. So this is what we do on the Taylor Report. You can call us up, 416-946-7800, and you can call toll free, 1-888-204-8976. And of course, well, the simplest thing is go to CIUT.fm, hit the donate button, build a station. We're looking for $100,000, and we have to say I'm very proud of the fact that CIUT, COVID-19 or no COVID-19, we've been keeping it rolling, and we think we've answered the bell, as it were. We've the listeners tune in. I know every one of the programs that the people value at CIUT, particularly the music. We have great music shows. And the producers of those shows have been keeping up the quality and the interest and probably broaden the audience because I'm sure that's appreciated by everybody. And this dedication and quality, we think, will gain support. So we're asking you to donate. Go to CIUT.FM. Hit the donut. Hey, I just said donut. Donate button and name the show you like. If you're listening to Taylor Report and you support them, they give you a spot. What show? Say the Taylor Report. You know, you can call us up toll free at 1-888-204-8976 and locally 416-946-7800. Once again, you can also send a check to CIUT, 7 Hart House Circle, Toronto, Ontario. And the code is M5S3H3. And this, you are listening to CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, and this is Taylor Report. And I think it's, again, the urgency, Victoria and Gabiri. I want to make sure we underline that. This situation begun with George Floyd is really, we've labeled it a cultural revolution, and I think it remains one. And don't underestimate it. Cultural revolutions are also political. And there's some aspects of it that I can't resist saying something about. That there is this argument about statues. I don't know why I call it an argument. In our progress towards a human world, society, where we are all brothers and sisters, we're going to meet many obstacles. And as we do, and we overcome them, we should erect the statues or memorials or whatever we choose to do that reflect our advance. But there are some people, the reactionaries, who want to put up things and keep them up because they say it's a traditional thing and they love tradition. Well, and it turns out that tradition involves celebrating slave owners and reminding you, building intimidating statues that say that when you look at them, the statue looks back at you and says, "We're the masters." And the one that I know something about, I went to some trouble to learn about, is Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Martin Luther King was born in Atlanta, Georgia. And Stone Mountain is an enormous granite rock. Maybe it's 5 miles around. And it is on the north face of it, there is a, what they call a rock relief. It was put there by Klan supporters, Ku Klux Klan supporters, Confederate racist slaveocracy romantics. And the three figures on the rock, enormous, are Jefferson Davis, the president of the Confederacy, Robert E. Lee, and Stonewall Jackson. I had the pleasure of standing looking at it. And what I say, it's a pleasure because now it is, Atlanta has gone through a civil rights movement and struggle. And so the day I was there, I saw, I was looking at the three figures and I wasn't sure which was which. I went there I went with my daughter Karina, who was my co-pilot and a wonderful pal and associate. And we zealously sought out this Confederate monument because we wanted to say we had seen it with our own eyes. It wasn't imagining things with that this horrible thing is on this stone mountain, and that, and so there was a young black man there working, and so I said to him, "Who do you think that? Who's that guy on the right?" And he said, "You know, I'm not sure." He said, "I think the guy on the left is Davis." But it was so much fun because we all laughed together. But that was a good part. But the ugly part is, it's there, and that is something that has been talked about. And I want to get to the point of one of the ways they argue, people do, about these such sites as that one, Stone Mountain, Atlanta, Georgia. And Karina Taylor and myself, we went. Is that they say, well, you know, it's art and something of that order. And in its tradition, it's, you know how that Stone Mountain was completed in 1972. For that sculpture, completed in 1972, 4 years after Martin Luther King had been assassinated. That's when this traditional thing that, we have to, memory. 4 years after he was murdered, Martin Luther King, leader of the Civil Rights Movement, unquestionably, they were determined. Well, you're talking about Klan people now. I understand that Klan can take their sheets off once in a while and pretend that they're congressmen and stuff like that. As they did. Look it up. There's no confusion about it. Members of the Supreme Court, who used to be members of the Klan, Hugo Black, said he'd been a member. But this is, we're talking 1972. So that obviously something ought to be done. It's putting Martin Luther King there would be seen to be to me to be the obvious thing to do. Atlanta, by the way, is boiling now. As you listeners will know, a black man was shot, and I watched it, and I'm sure most of the listeners of the Taylor Report have watched it. You have this thing, people talk about how far we've come. They say, we've made a lot of progress. Well, when they first got this project going, for example, for the Stone Mountain, they started in 1920, and then they finished it only in 72. It was like Mount Rushmore. As a matter of fact, the guy who did it, who started the project and drew it all up, was the same man, the same artist that did Mount Rushmore, that all Americans think is so marvelous. The same guy. He got fired off the job, by the way. If I lose track of my thread here, don't mind. All this, to me, is kind of important to know. He was fired because they decided to alter his plans. It had nothing to do with ideology. It all had to do with, shall we put 1,000 Confederates up there? Or you want only 3-4? Would you like a guy in a sheet? And they were debating that stuff, and so he got fired. When they hired him, by the way, the woman who was the Daughters of the Confederacy who was behind it, she said she was glad to meet the man and glad that he was going to work on it, but she wouldn't shake his hand because he was a Yankee, even though he himself, I understand, was a member of the Klan, but, being a Yankee member of the Klan put him in a lower category. This is what we're dealing with when people say, we're in institutionalized racism. This is deep, and you have to decide which side you're on. Get this thing over with. To my mind, we need to revisit all these things in these instances. Now, Atlanta comes up in another way. Donald Trump, President of the United States, I know that Canada doesn't meddle in the internal affairs. We won't expect our Trudeau to say anything. As we know, he goes silent. He gave it 21 seconds of silence. It's pretty good. He knelt also for 8.9 seconds, and that's almost, almost 30 seconds of silence, I don't know, and it, I think he should just continue down that road. Just don't say anything for a while. Because these horrible things are going on. Donald Trump said that he doesn't want to change the names of American military forts. The Taylor Report has talked about this. We spoke to historians and others about this throughout the United States, but particularly in the South, almost overwhelmingly in the South. There are major military bases, because get a load of this, the Southerners like to talk about their military tradition. Their military tradition was that they organized an army of traitors to overthrow the American government, well, to destroy the United States in the name of holding on to slaves. That's quite a tradition. So they want to maintain the tradition. So every time a new fort was built, they would name it after a Confederate general. So Trump says, well, you know, those forts represent victory. Those forts represent American heroism. And you say, no, listen, the name of it is Fort Hood, Benning, and I could name a bunch of other forts. And they represented the rebellion. Those generals fought for slaveocracy. They owned slaves, most of them. And Trump actually said they represent, he used the word victory and glory or something like that. No, they don't. On two fronts. One is that they were the actual certified, bona fide, sworn to do it, enemies of the United States. Enemies of the United States. And Trump thinks it's fine to name a fort. How about Fort Benedict Arnold? There's an idea for a fort. By the way, it should be West Point, because that's where Benedict Arnold organized his little game when he was working with the British, and he betrayed and escaped because they caught him. They got onto it. They caught him. He escaped, but his friend did not and was hanged. Anyhow, but it was at West Point. Why don't they just go ahead and call West Point Benedict Arnold? Because General Hood was like Benedict Arnold. And the other funny thing, which is, I love to talk about how stupid all of them are, Biden included, and Obama, go ahead, throw him all in, and Bush, what a bunch of dumbbells. They all tolerated this. They all looked out the window when you mentioned it. You know why? Because they didn't want to offend Southern congressmen. Southern senators, they want to offend them. They want to get, don't bother those guys. So go ahead, name a fort after John Bell Hood, I think his name was. So guess who was defending Atlanta? That was Hood, good old General Hood, the one that Trump likes. By the way, Trump loves losers. All those guys got their butt kicked. Really whacked, shown up intellectually, militarily, martial spirit, personal courage. They lost every last one of them, and they richly deserved to lose. And Hood was particularly ugly. He was in Atlanta. And you know, Americans think that Sherman is the villain, because Sherman, of course, brought his army to Atlanta and said to Hood, get out of Atlanta. We don't want to harm anybody in Atlanta. Come out and fight. And Hood said, oh no, I'm not going to do that. So eventually, they persuaded him by defeating him. And Hood, when he was exchanging letters between him and Sherman about whether he was going to leave Atlanta so that they didn't have to attack it, the destruction, by the way, I'm going to say this plainly, was caused by the Confederates. There was a burning, but most of that was them, the Confederates. Hood was the general, the Confederate general. And this is the place where Martin Luther King later was born. So they won't remove these characters from the Stony Mountain. And they won't remove the name Hood from a United States military fort. They won't do what they should obviously do. Just put Martin Luther King on Stone Mountain. Now I go back. We're moving on. We're defeating the racists. And so we'll put up the statue of those and memorials to those who did it. We don't keep the guys around who were against it. I don't mind if you want to create a museum. I'm all in favor. Put a lot of this stuff in a museum. Definitely, if when you remove Davis, Jackson, and Lee from Stone Mountain, make sure you get a good, you know, impression, etc. Bring it down to small size and say, this is it, this is it, and put it in a museum and say, look what the Klan built. And it was a Klan initiative. The other thing about statues, particularly in the United States, these statues, people don't understand. Those statues were not put up after the war, the Civil War, where the slaveocracy lost and 4 million black Americans won their freedom by participating, by the way, in the war themselves, and they were armed. Not the 4 million, but at least 100,000, probably more, black soldiers. Anyway, what happened was that the South wanted to gather itself into a force. And they, of course, wanted to crush democracy. They were not pro-democracy. They were against democracy. They remain the white supremacists of the South, and there are, of course, also white supremacists in the North. But they wanted to maintain their privilege. So, as they used violence, particularly through the Klan, using the Klan, and many of those were Confederate veterans and whatnot, that they decided to make the Klan into a heroic formation. Anyone who knows the history of Hollywood knows it. The guy Griffith made a film about them, and in which they were glorified. And when they did that, they then, as they realized they had the whip pretty comfortably in their hand, then they put up the statues. And the people who put up the statues, most of those statues are at least 40 years after the Civil War. Civil War ended in 1865, so along about at the turn of the century, it was the Daughters of the Confederacy who were the front for it. And then they had racist Klan, and of course, countrywide, America was a segregated, legally segregated country. So they wanted the black Americans and Americans opposed to the Confederates and opposed to racial oppression, they wanted to intimidate them. So they put a Confederate statue practically every town, so as to say, look who is boss. Those are statues saying, we're the boss. So those days have to come to an end, and I'm not claiming they're over, because this is a struggle. This is it, by the way, I'm going to stop off and say, this is Taylor Report. Donate to CIUT, 89.5 FM, CIUT.FM. Go to CIUT.FM, hit the donate button, and give us a small fortune and keep wonderful programming at CIUT going. And you can call us up at 416-946-7800, 416-946-7800, or if you're out of town, a lot of you are, 1-888-204-8976. Send a check, CIUT, 7 Harthouse Circle, Toronto, Ontario, M5S3H3. Continuing on this point, those statues were not put up early after the Civil War. No. They were put up much later. And they were put up at a time when they were trying and working to crush black resistance, popular resistance to the return of the South as the bulwark of the so-called American system. That's what it was about. So don't anybody tell you, oh, you know, this is something been here a long time, it means a lot. No, it meant a lot to the daughters of the American, daughters of the Confederacy. And to bring in Canada, I want to tell everybody here in the Black Lives Matter, understand that Jefferson Davis came to Toronto in 1867, and he arrived at the foot of Yonge Street, and a huge crowd was there of Confederate supporters, and they sang Dixie to celebrate the arrival of the leader of the slaveocracy, which had attempted to destroy the American Union and, of course, had fought to maintain their slave ownership of Black Americans. He came and was welcomed. He went to Montreal first. He was welcomed. He went to the theater, a theater in Montreal, the crowd. He put him in a box, and he came out, and the crowd sang Dixie to show him how much he appreciated. They appreciated him. I don't know if the Montreal has taken the plaque down. There used to be a plaque on the building where he lived there in Montreal. So understand something. Canada, the British were sympathetic to the South. And Confederate agents operated out of Toronto, Niagara Falls, St. Catharines, and particularly Montreal, St. John's. And they ran spies in and out, and they even Confederates organized an attack out of Quebec into Vermont. It was beaten off. And the British authorities, and they were British, were very pleased to prevent the Americans from capturing the attackers. The attackers, by the way, were arsonists. They wanted to burn a town down in Vermont, St. Albans, look it up. There is a sharing here of a racial tradition. People say, oh, well, Canada, the British in Canada at that time were just worried about the United States being big. Well, I guess they were. Whatever your excuse is, they supported the slaveocracy. They had a hotel at the foot of Yonge Street, which right down where at front, right across from the railway station. Every room in the place was occupied by a Confederate operator. The guys who tried to burn down New York City, the arsonists who set fire to New York City, the attempt to burn the whole city in order to help the Confederate cause, took a train back to Canada and arrived only, what, a day and a half later, and were welcomed by their friends here in Toronto. I think we should remember those things, particularly since people say, you know, they want to shrug it off or not see the depth of this and the ugliness of it. They were arsonists working for Jefferson Davis and Robert E. Lee, and they tried to burn down New York City, and they were welcome here. Nobody arrested them. They sat and they liked to drink, literally, mint juleps. That was a sign of who you were supporting. This is the Taylor Report. Go to CIUT.FM. Today is, we're kicking off. We're part of this getting rolling with the summer fundraising, and we're very proud to be doing it. So go to CIUT.FM, donate, and call us up, 416-946-7800. And out of town, you call us 1-888-204-8976. You can send us a check, CIUT, 7 Hart House Circle, Toronto, Ontario, M5S3H3. Among the things we've been talking about, I mentioned already the World Health Organization, and Taylor Report has been addressing these why we need international institutions where we are. Canada is a state among other states, like the United Nations, and I want to identify a word that I want to get clear about. Chrystia Freeland and Secretary of State Pompeo Trudeau, they like to use the expression, our values. And therefore, they say, in the name of our values, we bother and sanction Venezuela. Our values, we sanction Syria. Our values, we bombed, destroyed Libya. And then they say, countries like Cuba, countries like Iran, countries like China, they don't share our values. To me, you guys sound like the old South, your values. I don't know if they realize, the United Nations Charter was written by the victors in World War II. Russia was among the victors, China was among the victors. And by the way, no British leader, Canadian leader, French leader, or American leader was saying, oh, we don't like your values. Oh, they like them. You're fighting the Japanese, aren't you? We like, ooh, turns out we have shared values. And you were fighting Hitler. Mm-hmm. No, nobody was saying, oh, we don't like your values. They said they liked their values. By the way, Hollywood fell in love for about 3 years with the Soviet Union. And of course, when the war was over, the McCarthyites and others hunted down anybody who made one of those films because they, McCarthy and the American ruling class, are crazy as, you know, bedlam. That's a fact. The values were written down, so look it up. Go look at the UN Charter, Canada. You were in on writing it. So those are your values. So stop shooting your mouth off about how you don't like somebody else's values. They signed it, you signed it. So live up to it. You don't, nobody appointed Five Eyes to run the damn world. It's not their job. And if they try to run it, they're going to break their neck. That's pretty obvious. It's time to return to the values of the United Nations Charter, which was written by those who had defeated Nazism. And they were a pretty good bunch of people. There's nothing wrong with that charter. Take a look at it. And don't start this, your meeting in closets like Freeland and the Lima group. And, we people in the closet here, we don't think much of the way Venezuela is doing things. Well, take it to the United Nations. Vote. And if you lose, too bad. You had your shot, you missed. We have to fight back against this idiocy that creating a phony game. What values are they talking about? They were happy to write up a charter with the Soviet Union. And later, China joined in the United Nations. And Canada went along with that. So you had your chance. They're part of they can hold you to the same measure you think you want to hold them. But see, that would be playing fair. That would be being honest. That would be putting your cards on the table. But instead, we have this gang system, which is really a threat to this health of humanity. Anyway, this is the Tate Report. I'm going to say one more time, listen, donate. We'd really appreciate your support. This is a great station. We're proud to be part of it, doing all this. Go to CIUT.FM, donate, and call us at 416-946-7800 and donate. Keep this thing rolling. We're going to defeat racism. We're going to recreate a healthy international order where Canada is a nation amongst nations and treats everybody with respect, which is really what's required of anybody who claims to be, what's the word? Civilized. This is Phil Tater for the Tater Report. See you next week.
From high atop Hart House on the U of T campus, this is CIUT Everywhere. CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
Scano Swagwego, that means hello everyone. Iswatundage, you are all listening to CIUT Wadranota. You're listening to CIUT Radio 89.5 Nyagantro. It is placed at the frequency of 89.5.